Okay, so today I'm going to teach on prayer to God. Now, this is not an exhaustive study, but I looked up one word for prayer. It's in Appendix 134 in Roman numeral 2:2, and the word is proseukomai, and that is prayer that is restricted to offering to God in the New Testament, having regard to the power of him who is invoked, and giving preeminence to personal devotion. Now, this is such a huge area, but I didn't even go to every single verse because we'd be here half the day or longer. But I'm looking at that word primarily in the church epistles, while pointing out a few other verses in the Gospels where Jesus talked about prayer, same word, and where he also prayed. Go to Matthew. No, you don't have to go to anything. Matthew 5, 44, because it's written on the sheet that you just were given. It says, "But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you, and do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you." Does it say that we have to decide what they're going to do?
No.
That's kind of hard for a mom, because you want to tell them exactly what to do. And we do. But when you're praying for them, you give them to God. You pray for them. You love your enemies. And that's hard. That's not easy, but when we have the love of God in us, it is possible. And God wouldn't tell us to do something that's impossible. Do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. I think we are going to have to go, because I didn't put all the verses down. Let's go to Matthew 6 and in verse 7. Sure glad I brought my Bible. Matthew 6 and verse 7. This was such a blessing to me to do, I have to tell you, because, you know, the more you study the word, the more you want to. Mm-hmm. And the less you study the word, the more you forget to. Yeah. And that is just the absolute truth. So in Matthew 6 and in verse 7, it says, "But when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking." So this is the prayer that you're giving to God, your personal devotion, and he has power. He's got power. So this is just our person. This is the only kind of prayer I'm covering today, is our personal devotion to God. And look at also 14:23, Matthew 14:23, it says, "And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray," personal devotion. "And when the evening was come, he was there alone." He took that time to give his own personal devotion to God, and he did it again and again. Look at chapter 26. So this is where we're going through, just looking at Jesus praying, 26:41. And it says here, "Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." My flesh is weak. Anybody else? Flesh weak? Yeah, we're all, our flesh is weak. But we can pray. Mark 11:24. Am I going too fast for you who are using your phones and computers? No? Good? Okay. 11:24. It says, "Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them." When you pray, when you make that personal devotion to God, understanding the power that he has, believe, and you shall have them. What a wonderful promise of God. How many times in the gospel did Jesus go away to a quiet place, sometimes a mountain, to pray? Just a few. And you have them all listed there. Matthew 14:23, he went to a mountain. Mark 1:35, he went to a solitary place. Mark 6:46, he went to another mountain. Mark 14:39, he went away. Luke 5:16, he went into the wilderness. 6:12, went to a mountain. Luke 9:18, he went alone. 9:28, another mountain. And those are just a few. Jesus Christ had the prayer as such a big part of his life because he had so much to deal with. I mean, what he had to do for us. But in the meantime, on his way there, all the things that he did and taught. Let's go to the church epistles using that same word, pros eukomai, Romans 1:9. I couldn't do all of them. I just had to do a few of them because I wanted to share that. It's just so important. Romans 1:9. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, in my personal devotion, understanding what God's power is. Romans 8. In verse 26, and when we got born again, when we confessed Jesus as Lord and believed that God raised him from the dead, we received Holy Spirit. And it says in Romans 26, likewise, the Spirit, Holy Spirit, also helps our infirmities. Anybody here with an infirmity? Mm-hmm. Yep. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with, is out, groanings which cannot be uttered. Makes us intercession with groanings which cannot be uttered. So many times I say to Dan, oh, this situation, I don't know what to do. I don't even know what to ask for. So I speak in tongues because we don't know what to pray for. We don't know the ins and outs of every situation. So speaking in tongues, it helps our infirmity. Our infirmity is we don't know what to pray for as we ought. And it's so hard when you have a family or a friend or a situation that you're dealing with that you just are, you're at a loss. You're at a loss for words. And some of us, like me, I'm not mostly at a loss for words. We're looking at this thing on Netflix, and I love it. It's called Anne with an E. Yeah. And it's about a girl in the 1800s and her family, and she's adopted. She gets adopted, but she was an orphan up to the time she was 13, and she never shuts up. And they just go, Anne, please, that's enough. it's a great thing if you want to see it. It's just so much fun. 1 Corinthians 14. There's a lot of prayer. You guys, there's so much prayer in the church epistles. But I'm just doing some verses on this particular word. 1 Corinthians 14 and in verse 14. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. Because when you're speaking in tongues, you don't know what you're saying. Now, somebody in the world may understand what you're saying. It's a language of men and of angels, or of angels. So, you know, sometimes you say, well, gee, that sounds like it's Spanish. But maybe not the Spanish person that is there in the room. Or maybe it's a different language. But the word says it's a language of men or of angels. So it is a language. And it's not something we had to learn. It was when we got born again and we spoke in tongues, it was just there. And we just decided to speak it out. Look at 2 Corinthians 13. I think I have that here. Yeah. 2 Corinthians 13, 7. Okay, now I pray to God that you do no evil, not that we should appear approved, but that ye should do that which is honest, though we be as reprobates. And the word is yukumai. It doesn't have the pros in front of it. But praying to God, your heart's desires, telling God about them, knowing how powerful that he is. Look at Ephesians 6:18. Yeah, it's there. It doesn't have all of it, but 6:18 is praying always with all prayer and believing. Both words are that word. And supplication in the Spirit, watching thereinto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So that's what we should be doing. We should be praying for all the saints, the ones that are here in this room, the ones that are in the city, the ones that are in the state, the country, the world. Praying always for them. And Philippians 1:9. And this I pray. This I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. That's some of the things that we should pray for. Not, well, I wish he would just get to do this and get a damn job, you know, or something like that. But no, it's just praying that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge, and that's epigenosis, and in all judgment or perception. Colossians 1:3. We give thanks. I think I have it right here. Yeah, 1:3. I'll make sure I have it right. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying, same word, always for you. And, you know, I have that prayer of George Mueller on my bathroom in a little frame right where I do my makeup and do stuff. And it's, he talks about the problem with the believer is that they don't continue in prayer. Just continue. Because that's what's going to work. And look at verse 9. It says, for this cause we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Telling us how to pray, what we should pray for, that we be filled, all of you and me and all of us, be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Because when you understand God and you have the wisdom of God, the details in your life are going to be good. They're going to be good. Look at Colossians 4 and in verse 3. 4:3. It says, with all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. Praying for your leadership, praying for each one of us, that God is going to open unto us, each one of us, the door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ. What a wonderful prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5. It's a pretty quick verse. 17. Pray, same word, without ceasing. Continuing to honor God with our personal devotion, knowing of his power. Pray without ceasing. And in verse 25 of the same chapter 5, it says, brethren, pray for us. And in 2 Thessalonians 1:11, Thessalonians, wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power. And what's the purpose? That the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and ye in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. And in verse chapter 3 and in verse 1, 3, is it 3? Yeah. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you. So, you know, prayer is a big deal. 1 Timothy 2, and in verse 8. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, including you women, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. You know, God's will is that we pray. And you know, I don't know about you, but a lot of times I forget. You know, it's just human nature. We get so busy. Get up in the morning, you got to do this, you got to do that, you got to run here, you got to run there. What, the kids are crying? You know, they're getting crazy. Danielle has his hands full. But God says we should be praying. And so while you're doing that and making breakfast or cleaning up the dishes, pray. Just speak in tongues. And just think of the we want the word to move. We want people to love God. We want him to come to him. Life gets busy. Oh, boy. And just because it isn't in the church epistles, but in James, I love this. Peter, James. Is it right after that? Or is it before it? Hebrews, James, Peter, right? Okay. Hebrews, James, and in 5:13, because this is a real big one, and so many of us have gotten healing when we've been prayed for. And it said, is there any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is there any merry? Let him sing psalms. And the next verse, is there any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. 5:16, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man, woman, child availeth much. So this is, again, not an exhaustive study of prayer in the Bible, but just a study of many of the usages for proseuchomai, and some of them just euchomai, prayer offered to God in the New Testament having regard to the power of him, God, who is invoked, and giving preeminence to your personal devotion to him. My prayer for you is to continue to pray to God and to fully receive the blessings of God's will. I don't know where to push. And I wanted to say that if any of you don't have our address,